opening verse from the 14th chapter of the 5th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the prose, so we don't really chant the prose, but we can do word for word. Evam, in this way. Advani, on the path of sense gratification. Avarudana, being confined. He forgets the real purpose of life. Mrityu Gajya Bayat, out of fear of the elephant of death. Tamasi, in the darkness. Giri Kandara Praye, similar to the dark caves in the mountains. Okay, translation. So this whole chapter is more like an allegory on life, using various features in nature to bring out certain points that are necessary. And so it says here, in this material world, when the conditioned soul forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not care for Krishna consciousness, he simply engages in different types of mischievous and sinful activities. He is then subjected to the threefold miseries, and out of fear of the elephant of death, he falls into the darkness found in a mountain cave. I think most of you missed that because everybody is over there. What happened? There you go. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. We'll try it again. In this material world, when the conditioned soul forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not care for Krishna consciousness, he simply engages in different types of mischievous activities. Mischievous and sinful activities. He is then subjected to the threefold miseries, and out of fear of the elephant of death, he falls into the darkness found in a mountain cave. Okay, there's a very short three-line purport. So, we're humming. Okay. So, okay. It's not a bad hum. It's a hum in the mode of passion. It's not ignorance, not goodness, but... Okay, everyone is afraid of death. Right, okay. Everyone is afraid of... Some of you are transcendental. And however strong a materialistic person may be, when there is disease in old age, one must certainly accept the death notice. The conditioned soul becomes very morose and to receive notice of death. His fear is compared to the fear experienced upon entering a dark mountain cave, and death is compared to a great elephant. End of purport. Omagyan timirandasya gira jana salakaya chaksun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. So here, I'm speaking about when one forgets one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not take up spiritual activities. One takes up mischievous and activities that are contrary to all one's good welfare, known as sinful activities, or we might say vikarma. There is karma, akarma, and vikarma. Karma is auspicious activities that bring one to pious results and to better material situations. Vikarma is sinful activities that simply pushes one down, causes one to suffer in various ways. And akarma is transcendental activities, devotional service. So here we're speaking about vikarma. And what happens? There is a fear. What is that fear? Fear of death. The fear of death is compared to the entering of a dark cave in the mountainside. And maybe there's a giant elephant inside that cave. So that elephant is compared to death, and the fear of death is compared to the darkness of a mountain cave. So here, this analogy is to help us understand that this element of ending one's material existence, which is called death, creates a great fear in the life of people when they're reminded. Generally, usually people forget about this element called death, and therefore it's pushed aside, it's forgotten, it's not discussed, it's somehow or other seen as being an activity of moroseness and an activity that doesn't really help one in one's activities in life. And so it says in the scriptures that if you want to be successful in material life and you want to be enthusiastic in that success, then you should forget that death exists. Otherwise, the idea is you cannot become fired up, enthusiastic about your plans for material success if the idea of death is on your mind, or if you're reminded about that. But then the statement and the Shastras go on to say that for those who practice spiritual life and understand the temporary nature of this world and the eternal nature of the soul and the soul's existence in the spiritual world, one should remember this feature of death and prepare oneself for that, what we say, climax of one's material existence. Hopefully climax, at least in this particular sojourn in life. I just got the news today that one of my disciples just left the body at around 1 o'clock this afternoon. Everyone was expecting it, and he had a stroke about a couple months ago, a very severe stroke which damaged his brain. He was 87 years old. His name was Mahabalarama. I don't know, maybe some of you know it from Bilavar in Croatia. And I went to visit him twice in the last 2 weeks, until 1 week, actually 1 week, and I was there on Wednesday, and there was about six of us there, and of course he was somewhat conscious, but not very expressive. He couldn't speak so good because of the situation of his ailment, but we had a kirtan. And devotees have been visiting him on and off for the last few months. And we were talking to him and trying to reach him in so many ways. And we had a miraculous breakthrough that he actually started to respond and was able to chant Hare Krishna and was smiling and was feeling the happiness of the presence of the devotees and as he was being reminded of Krishna. So it was quite nice. It was very, very sweet. And of course the devotees were saying, oh, he was in a nursing home, so he's not getting what we say Vaishnav care around the clock, but we had to accept that because this was the situation his family placed him in, and we had no say about that. But they were very opened and allowed us to come in as often as we could. And one devotee was saying, it'd be nice if he left now, surrounded by devotees with the kirtan. But he left this afternoon very peacefully. And I think our last visit was a very fundamental visit in the sense that it sort of really boosted his consciousness of Krishna in such a powerful way. And I think he wanted to leave. Before then, he was struggling just to stay alive, but after this visit, there was this feeling that now it's time to leave. And so for a devotee, and it's mentioned in the fourth canto in Bhagavatam, for a devotee, death is like going to sleep and waking up. You go to sleep and then you wake up, but when you wake up, you're not in the same place. You're with Krishna. And Krishna says, welcome home. I've been waiting for you. Thank you for coming back to me. You know how much I love you. And thank you for coming back. So Krishna is very happy when a soul becomes again reunited with him in the spiritual world. So death is the door to eternal life for the spiritual practitioner. For the materialist, it's the most horrible thing. Why? Because everything a materialist lives for becomes lost at the time of death. And people feel very lost when they know they're going to die, or even during the time of death, they may be conscious that they're leaving. And so they still try to hang on to something. Sometimes it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, if they're surrounded by friends and relatives, they're still giving instructions to the friends and relatives what to do, how to manage the household, how to take care of the children, how to take care of the business affairs. Although they're dying, they're still attached to seeing what goes on even after they leave. So for a materialist, death is the most worst thing. In one statement by the great author, poet, writer, and protagonist, Shakespeare, he says, there's the rub. There's the rub. That one, this is, everyone lives for so many things, but here death comes along and takes everything away. But that's not like that for a devotee. Because the devotee is aware that death is simply an opportunity to go closer to Krishna and ultimately reach Krishna. So the devotee thinks, how much time do I have? We don't know. The death notice is hardly given. We have the example of Maharaj Pariksit. In Bhagavatam, he knew he had 7 days. So what did he do? He left his position as king of the world. He left his wonderful family, who were very much dedicated to serving him and loving him. He had a wonderful family. He had wealth, he had popularity, he had followers, he had success. But then he understood, now it's the time to prepare for the purpose of life. And what is the purpose of life? Taktva dehom purna janmani naitimam eti sorjuna. That the purpose of life is to be successful at death. So death is actually the final examination. And life is like a series of tests that bring us to the examination. And whether we pass or fail depends on how we learn the lessons. And what are those lessons? That this material world is not our home. It's a place that we have somehow come because of our rebelliousness against Krishna, and therefore we've been placed in this place in order to fulfill that desire to be separate from Krishna, to enjoy separate from Krishna. So it's a false paradise. It's a place where no one can stay and no one can ultimately achieve happiness. And so therefore, a devotee knows, oh, yes, I'm in this material world. I don't want to be here. I want to be with Krishna. I want to be with Krishna. And Krishna wants to be with us more than we want to be with him. That's the whole thing. Krishna's love for his devotee is strong, and much more stronger than our love for him. As Prabhupada used to say, Krishna's the best in every category. So he's the best of all lovers. He has volumes of love for his devotees. He shows it in different ways. But the best way he shows is when he sends his representatives, the spiritual masters, to bring us back to him in devotional service. So, therefore, devotees are not fearful of death, but at the same time, they're always thinking, how can I use the time that I have left in this material world to be ready for that final exam? And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam taktvat ante kalevaram tam tam ivaiti kontiya sadata bhava bhavitaha, that whatever you think of at the time of death, whatever your consciousness, that's the destination you achieve. So sometimes one may think, well, yes, I'll just think of Krishna at the time of death. Right now I have so many other things to think of. But it doesn't work like that. Because consciousness is what we say, progressive. As we develop the consciousness in the right direction, it becomes stronger and stronger. So as we cultivate a type of consciousness, that also fuels our particular desires within our heart. So if we're still conscious of trying to make a nice place in this material world, when it's time to leave, we'll still have that consciousness, and we won't be able to focus, what we say, fully on God. As Prabhupada used to say, no cheating. What you do now means what will happen in the future. The present is the foundation for the future, every moment. So therefore, a devotee is always thinking, I have to think of Krishna, I have to serve Krishna, I have to develop my attachment and love for Krishna more and more. And then through chanting his holy name, through hearing about him in different leelas, to visiting his holy dham and taking the dust of the dham and hearing from the great persons who live in these places, and also to take Krishna prasadam. All these things purify our consciousness and gradually bring about an awareness of Krishna and everything. And then when that becomes complete, then even if one is still living in this physical material body, they're no longer here. They may be physically here, but their consciousness is in the spiritual world. So that is the special mercy given to us by the great acharyas, spiritual masters, and especially Srila Prabhupada. He's made it, when we say, the process of going back home, back to Godhead, quite easy. But compared to days of yore, when it became very difficult to practice spiritual life in such a way that there was, one would have to be really, really strict. Our strictness is still the foundation for our success, but now the mercy is ever flowing. What is that mercy? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come with the chanting of the holy names and with the process of pure devotional service. So for a devotee, yes, we may still fear death because we fear the unknown, although we know it's not so bad. But I think we fear leaving something that we like. Here we develop an attachment to friends, to family members, to people in general. And we find some satisfaction and some fulfillment in that relationship. So when we think about leaving all of that behind, we started thinking about, well, not now. I'm not ready. But there's a nice statement by one great sadhu, spiritual teacher in the Sri Sampradaya, Ramanuja Sampradaya, where he says that there's two things you should always forget and two things you should always remember. And the two things you should always forget, and he said you should always forget all the good things that you've done to others. Why? Because you might have a tendency to become proud. I did so many good things. I'm such a nice person. I gave in charity. I helped this person. Just see. People come to me for guidance, advice, and other things. In other words, because of me, everybody else is happy. In other words, we start getting a little proud of the mercy given to us, and we start taking credit for that. So it says, forget that. And the other thing you should forget is to forget all the bad things that others have done to you. The principle of forgiveness is there. The principle of moving on in life and not lingering in the past and just somehow forgiving and moving on. Not hanging on to so many different things that just cloud our mind and make us unhappy or even somewhat resentful. Or maybe even in the worst case, revengeful, trying to retaliate. Forget all that. Forget whatever bad things anyone done to you. I think devotees don't have a problem with that. And the two things you should always remember that death can happen at any moment, and remember the holy name of Krishna. These are the two. So sometimes we calculate death according to age, and that is generally the case. Old age is an indication that one is on the precipice or on the path, and soon death will be the next appearance soon. But that is not always the case. Why? Because we find in many situations people die very young in life, and that happens very often. It's not something out of the ordinary. By accidents, by calamities, or just by sicknesses, or just by untold, unforeseen situations. When I was in Mumbai, we were preaching in one college, and it was a medical college, and the students in the medical college were coming to our program at the college. We had set up a program every week at the college, and many of the students were coming. And the program became so popular, many of the students were actually visiting the temple on the weekends for the Sunday program, so becoming very attracted to Krishna consciousness. So it was getting towards the end of one semester, and so one of the students who was coming regularly, he said to his friends who were also coming, I want to graduate top in my class. I want to be the best. So I'm not going to the programs, I'm not coming to the temple, I'm not going to be doing anything spiritual, I'm going to study. And his friend said, okay, but we're going to still go. And so he went on and studied, and then when graduation time came, he graduated number one in the whole class. He was the best and got so many honors for being the best student in the whole entire college and graduation. And then after he graduated, his friends who were still coming to the program said, okay, you did it, all right, the devotees are waiting for you, come on back, come to the programs tonight, they're at the college. He said, well, you know, there's a party. And I've been invited to go to this party. It was like a party after graduation, because after graduation, you know, a lot of the students, they'd have individual parties. So he was invited to one party. So then he said, I'm going to the party. And they said, oh, okay, well, but they tried to talk him out of it, but he didn't want to go. So he went to the party, and he was dancing at the party, and in the middle of the dance floor, he had a heart attack and died. 23 years old, no medical history of any ailments, top in his class in the medical college, all of a sudden. So when this happened, it shocked all his friends who became more serious. And so this is an example how we don't really know the situation. I was giving a lecture in New Jersey, in America, to a community of all Indian people in various ages. And they were renting one building which was next to a firehouse. In America, they have these things called firehouses, because there's a lot of fires there. And the firemen come out in their trucks. And so I was giving a class, and I was talking from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the difference between the body and the soul. And there was about 150 people in the audience. And there were many people sitting on chairs, and went way back. So I'm talking about death, because body and soul means the difference between life and death. And so while I'm talking, one gentleman who was sitting in the back falls off the chair flat on the floor. This is right in the middle of my class. Don't do it now, please. So, what happened? Everyone runs, they call the fire department. The fire department are prepared for this. They come, they pick him up and take him away. Nobody knows what the situation is. So, like, obviously, they took him to the hospital. And so everybody, you know, the confusion settles down, and then I get back to talk about my class. And you're amazing. I had complete attention. Before, everybody was there. Some are listening, some are half listening, some are not really listening. But after that incident happened, wow. Everybody listened to every word I said and waited for the next word. You know, it was such, we use the term pin drop silence. You could hear a pin drop. So that experience that night made my lecture really good. But later on, of course, we inquired about what happened, and he had high cholesterol. So he had a high cholesterol attack. And he was taken to the hospital, and he was fine. He didn't leave his body. But the situation was in such that we don't take it seriously until somebody close to us dies, or something happens, or maybe we even have a close experience in life. How many of you have close experiences of death in your life? I think most of us do. You know, something happens and Krishna saved you, or some situation. I think I had at least 10 of those in my life. Almost ready to just disappear and somehow by some miraculous situation. That happened to me when I was about 7 years old. I think I was just a little kid. My father saved me. I was 2 seconds away from death. So we have so many situations in life where, you know, we come close to that end of the physical body. But when we become, when we know, we take up devotional service, Krishna protects us. He protects his devotee. But at the same time, he wants us to remember that this material world is simply, what did Christ say? Christ said something very nice. Christ said something very nice. He said, the world is a bridge. Cross over it, do not build any house upon it. In other words, don't try to make anything permanent here. Live in such a way that we're ready, when it's time to leave, We don't have to, you know, have 100 things we have to still do yet. Be ready to go when it's time. And be ready to go in consciousness, which is, of course, the most important thing. But if we live simply, we're always in the best position to remember Krishna and practice Krishna consciousness. That's why the Shastras always instruct us, Ishavasham idam sarvam yat kincha tyam tikjagat tena jaktena bundi jaha magridaha kashisvadanam. We were speaking about this verse today as we were driving here. This verse is very fundamental. It's the first verse in the Sri Upanishads. What is it saying? Everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one should live according to their quota. And if one does so, the next verse said, if one lives according to their needs, then one can aspire to live for hundreds of years. So in other words, we get these two things mixed up. People in general do. What are our needs and what are our wants? You ever struggle with that? What is actually a need and what is something that I want but I really don't need it? I really don't need it. Or maybe I think I need it, but actually when others see it, they understand I don't need it. So to learn what is our needs, which are necessary, and what are our wants. So therefore, in order to make it easy, we just try to want devotional service. We want to associate with devotees, we want to chant the holy names, we want to engage in activities that bring our consciousness closer to Krishna. We want to hear about Krishna, we want to associate with devotees who are enthusiastic in devotional service. So these are our wants, and they're also our needs, because on the spiritual platform, we also have needs which fulfill that desire for becoming fully Krishna conscious. So the elephant of death in the dark cave doesn't apply to the devotees. It simply applies to the materialist. Death is like an elephant. If you're face to face with a stampeding elephant, you don't have much chance. And if you're in a dark cave, what can you see? Nothing. All you can see is your own anxiety. Therefore, the fear of death is like a dark cave. An elephant coming out of that cave is like death. But for a devotee, it says that death is like going to sleep and waking up. It's very pleasant. So it's not that we should aspire to die. That's not the idea. We should aspire to live as long as possible, but always live in the consciousness of Krishna. And therefore we'll always be ready for the final moment. We see many great souls in our movement. They showed us really exemplary examples of how they left the world in Krishna consciousness, thinking of Krishna, chanting Krishna's names. And then we have the mercy of the Lord. When Srila Prabhupada was in America in the early days, in 1960s, Prabhupada got really sick in 1967. And he was taken to a place in California called Stinson Beach. But before then, he was in the hospital in the New Jersey area. And the devotees had put him in the hospital. Prabhupada, after some time, didn't like the hospital. He said, "Get me out of here." He said, "This place is..." Because they were doing all kinds of tests, and Prabhupada didn't like any of it. So at one time, he said to the devotees, "I want to go." But the hospital people didn't want to release him. So there was a plan to kidnap Prabhupada out of the hospital. And so they planned it very carefully. And Brahmananda was very much the main person behind the plan. And then at one point, he came in with a wheelchair, put Prabhupada in the wheelchair and start wheeling him out of the hospital. And then finally the nurses started to realize something was happening, and they started to call out and chase them down the hall. They're running with Prabhupada down the hall in a wheelchair, and the nurses are saying, "You take him out, you'll kill him." Prabhupada said, "Go." So Brahmananda was successful, and then they took Prabhupada out of the hospital. So Prabhupada later told Brahmananda, "Because you took me out of the hospital, you will never have to die in a hospital." So about 2 years ago, maybe a little less, maybe actually a year and a half ago, Brahmananda was in Vrindavan, and he was quite sick, and it was known that soon he would die, but there was a chance that he could get well again. So one great devotee in our movement, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, was arranging for Brahmananda to leave Vrindavan and go to the hospital in Delhi. And he had made so many elaborate arrangements with the best of all doctors to help him. Brahmananda didn't want to go. But finally Gopal Krishna convinced him that he should go. So at one point Brahmananda decided, all right. So he got up, started to walk to the door to get into the ambulance to go to the hospital, and while he was walking to the door, he left his body. So Prabhupada's promise came true. You will not have to die in the hospital. So the promise of the pure devotee is very powerful and very, what we say, merciful also. Like that. So that's a wonderful story to see that, yes, we don't want to die in hospitals. We want to die in the association of Pancha Tattva, whether it's in Mayapur, or it's in Ljubljana, or wherever it is, in the association of devotees, that's the best form of passing. So devotees don't have to think about death, but we should always know that death is a feature of life. When Prabhupada was sitting in Vrindavan, and he was on his last few days, and the devotees around him were quite emotional, seeing their spiritual master, who they loved so much, now was leaving them. And there was a lot of emotion. And Prabhupada, at one point, looked around and looked at the devotees and said, "Don't think this won't happen to you." So he gave some instructions. Although he was leaving the body, he was instructing us about the importance of understanding how life works. It happens to everybody, but for a devotee, there's no fear. Why? Because Krishna's there. Krishna is there. And Prabhupada would use the example. There is the cat and the kitten, and the cat and the rat. So the cat is the same, but the cat carries the rat, and the rat thinks death. The cat is carrying, the same cat is carrying its little kitten. The kitten is thinking, "This is mother." One is love and one is death personified. So for a devotee, death is like meeting your eternal lover. And it's the door to eternal life. So one should always... So what is the importance of remembering death? It helps us to become more serious in Krishna consciousness. It helps us to use our time, what we say, to the best capacity. Not to waste time, or to waste time and activities that just make us forget Krishna and forget about the goal of life. So a devotee has no fear. A devotee is Abhayam. Prabhupada's name, Jai Panchatattva Ki Jai. Prabhupada's name was Abhay Charana Ravinda. Baya means fear, Abhay means without fear. So one who remembers Srila Prabhupada and his instructions will be always Abhaya, free from all fear. And the ultimate fear is the fear of death, of course. But a devotee doesn't fear death. Prabhupada said, a devotee's only fear, devotees also have fears. What is our fear? That I don't want to again fall back into material life and again take up activities that make me forget Krishna. Prabhupada would call that a healthy fear. A healthy fear. It's good to fear material energy, not to become again captured by that same energy that we are trying to get out of. So that's okay. So these are a few points on the part of life that is the most important part of life, and that is leaving this material body. Any questions or comments? Yes.
When you are getting involved in the Krishna consciousness, you will get a proper knowledge that you get, you lose the fear of death. But what about the knowledge that you don't lose the fear of losing this higher taste? I think this can also happen to any of us because we are conditioned souls. And, how can you lose this fear of losing the higher taste that you are getting with the Krishna consciousness?
Well, the higher taste comes, susukam karta mavyayam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the process is joyful. So you focus on those activities that please Krishna. Don't worry about whether you're getting a higher taste or not, just do the activities, that's all. Krishna gives you the taste. It's Krishna that provides the taste. Why? When Krishna is pleased, then Prabhupada says, taktva deham purnam jan. And when Krishna is pleased, all success in devotional service is guaranteed. So we don't worry so much about being happy or being, what we say, we're concerned about how best to serve. That's all. That's a devotee. Devotee thinks, how best can I serve in whatever situation I'm put into. And then you will never lose that higher taste. You'll be in contact with that because it's service that brings the higher taste. It's not creating a certain mental, in other words, a certain mindset that brings the higher taste. That's material. People think, if I think this way and do this and I simply act in this way, then everything will be fine. But the devotee knows, no, I just have to try to please Krishna and try to serve my best. That's where the higher taste comes. I can tell you a funny story, which is related to this. We were preaching in one city in America called Cincinnati, Ohio. It's in the somewhere in the Midwest. And we were on the campus. We had a little preaching center. And I was the temple president. This was back in the 1980s. And people were coming from the campus. We were right on the campus, so it was a good location. And people would sometimes just walk into our place and say, what is this place? Oh, Hare Krishna, okay. We'd give them some prasadam. So we had people just coming. And one time one professor from this college came. And he was very well-mannered, very well-spoken, very intellectual. And so he took an interest, and we were having classes every night. And so he would always ask so many questions, and we would answer his questions, but he could never get the answers because he was too intelligent. What do I mean by too intelligent? He would complicate the answers and twist and make and turn it into something else. So although we were doing our best to try to convince him, we couldn't give him an answer which he was satisfied with. He would always come back with another question. So we thought, he's a nice person. He looks like he's sincere. What can we do to help him? So we came up with the idea, let's give him some service. So we had a we had a little garden in the back, and it needed some development. So we told him, you know how to make a garden, you know how to plant. And yeah, he said, yeah, I know that all. He knew everything. So he said, okay, why don't you come in the morning tomorrow? And he said, yeah, I have time. So he came, and so we put him out there in the garden. He was doing all gardening work the whole day. So that night he came home, came back into the program we had, and he was like so joyful, little kid at Christmas time. He was really happy. And then we were thinking, oh, okay, this is nice. He's getting a taste. And so the next day we asked him, could you do it again? He said, yeah. He was so happy. So that day, the next day, he was out there all day. When he came back that night, he was really confused. He had a completely different experience. And he said, we questioned him, what happened? He said, I don't know. I did everything I did the first day, and I was figuring out, if I do it like this, and I do it like this, I remember everything I did it, and so, but I didn't get it. So what he was doing, he was calculating how he got the taste. He was very calculating. And therefore, Krishna didn't give it to him. He was trying to formulate something into a very empirical understanding. That if you do it like this, you get this. But Krishna consciousness doesn't work like that. Krishna gives the taste when he's pleased. That's all. Or when you're enthusiastic. And you're not trying for anything but to please Krishna or try to do your service in the best possible way. So there's an example how you can't bring the taste about yourself. You simply have to serve. And Krishna's pleased. Or when you're enthusiastic, then things come automatically by Krishna's arrangement. Not by our formulations, not by our trying to hold on to some taste. Okay. And it was another question here on Deva Dharma. I thought you had your hand up, no? No, okay. Oh, okay. Sundar Gopal.
Is it the case when the fish falls from deep space, even if it is not fish, but maybe in a particular situation when it adapts or something?
He'll give you a taste sometimes just to make you... You can, yeah, give you a little faith, give you a little boost, just to push you along. But you shouldn't depend on that. We're not interested so much in the taste, we're interested in the service. The taste will come, whether it comes or not. But a devotee is happy because they get a chance to serve, that's all. The happiness or the taste is in the service itself and not something extra. But if you go on for years with no taste, then you should think, what's wrong? Maybe there's something I have to adjust in my life. Maybe I'm chanting with offense. Or maybe I don't have the right attitude in when I do my service. So then, but yeah, we should want the taste, but we shouldn't kind of like make that the goal of our activities. But sometimes Krishna will do that, just to push you along, or to increase your faith. He sees you're sincere, and you're trying, so he'll give you some mercy. Everything depends on Krishna. Yeah? Is that okay? Any other questions? Yes?
One question. Can you serve Krishna? Does he will give a
taste to somebody that you like it so much, like your relatives, or is this just I have a question.
You can pray to Krishna, Krishna give that person a little bit of your mercy. You don't say taste, we say mercy. Yeah, yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Okay. Anything else? Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.